Matthew 28. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet full of joy. They were afraid because they'd seen an angel. Who wouldn't be afraid to see an angel? Yet the angel gave them joyous news. He is not here. He is risen. Or look at Luke's account in Luke 24. When Jesus appeared to his disciples, he showed them his hands and his feet. And the Bible says, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, the risen Lord was too good to be true. Their master had been crucified on a Roman cross a few days earlier, his body laid in a cold cave called a grave. And now Jesus was standing before them, and they were so full of amazement and joy, they were overwhelmed. It was a yes moment. It was a moment when life was just right. This is the way it's supposed to be, yet it's so good it's hard to believe it's happening. John's version, John chapter 20 and verse 20, the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. The disciples felt defeat and discouragement at the cross, like their world had ended. They poured 3 years of their life into relationship with Jesus. And here is their master being crucified on a Roman cross, his body being laid in a tomb. Yet on that resurrection Sunday, all that changed because of the resurrection of Jesus. And when we grasp the implications of the empty tomb of Jesus Christ, it still fills our hearts with joy as we begin to experience living that new life, that yes life. Life has been set back in order. Things are right again because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This morning we're going to talk about that fullness of joy that comes in meeting the risen Lord. We were not eyewitnesses of Jesus. We didn't see the empty tomb. We didn't see his resurrection body. So someone will ask, why do we believe in Jesus being raised from the dead? We could spend a whole lesson on this and many more, but let me give you some very brief introductory thoughts. Number one, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus because the apostles believed it. The 12 that Jesus had chosen, all of them not only believed it at that moment, they stayed with that faith throughout that life. Their faith in the risen Lord drove them on missionary work, even into persecution. Some, many died for their faith in Jesus. And they went to their graves saying, he is risen, he is risen. And no one recounted the story. No one recanted the story. They recounted it very many. Well, they did not recant it. Wrong word. A second reason I believe in the resurrection of Jesus is the growth of the early church. The first time the gospel was preached to the Jews in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 records it. How many became Christians? 3,000 became Christians. 3,000 immediately said, I believe in this resurrected master, and I'm submitting my life to him. Days later, it was 5,000 believers, and the early church multiplied in Jerusalem. Question for you. In what city was Jesus killed and put in a tomb? Jerusalem. And how long was it from the time of the crucifixion to the resurrection? 3 days. And how much longer from that resurrection until the gospel was preached? Well, the day of Pentecost was 50 days after Passover. You do the math. Jesus crucified on Passover weekend. Less than 2 months after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Peter proclaims that Jesus is risen from the dead. And 3,000 people said, yes, I'm turning my life over to him. Then 5,000 become Christians immediately thereafter. Multitudes of Jews knew the evidence. There was no body in the tomb. There was nothing that had been done except the power of God had been at work and Jesus was raised from the dead. You and I did not see it, but we believe because of the witnesses and because of those facts that I just shared. Let's sing together number 726.
We saw thee not when thou didst come to this poor world of sin and death, nor yet beheld thy cottage home in that despised Nazareth. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains, thy Son of God. We saw thee not when lifted high amid that wild and savage crew, nor heard we that imploring cry, forgive they know not what they do. But we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. But we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. We gaze not in the open tomb where once thy mangled body lay, nor saw thee in that upper room, nor met thee on the open way. But we believe that angel said, why seek the living with the dead? But we believe that angel said, why seek the living with the dead? We walk not with the chosen few who saw thee from the earth ascend, who raised to heaven their wandering view, then low to earth all prostrate bend. But we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies. But we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies.
We have some problems here, technical issues. I need to go to my slide. Here we go. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. This morning we're going to briefly explore that faith, hope, love relationship and how the resurrection of Jesus brings us joy, a fullness of faith, a fullness of hope, and a fullness of love. Join me on this journey. The empty tomb of Jesus gives me a full faith in God, because the God who raised Jesus from the dead is able to raise our bodies from a life of sin to a life of holiness in Christ and eventually to be with Him in glory. That fact of the resurrection of Jesus, the empty tomb, gives me a full faith that God is at work within me and will be at work within us, even in the moments of death. You see, you as I have buried family members that we love. People have passed on, and we've seen a lifeless body lowered into the ground, and we know that that body decays, and a funeral seems also final. And before Jesus' resurrection, funerals seem very final. But after Jesus' resurrection, we know that death has not been conquered by Christ, and if we are in Christ, we are conquering death through Him. The resurrection of Jesus changes the dynamics of death. The miracle of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead was God's demonstration of His love and His power. And God's power and love seen through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead gives us a full faith that God is at work within our lives and within our world. Our faith is in an omnipotent one, an all-loving God. And we trust in one who is willing and able to intervene in history, because He's intervened in history before through the resurrection of His Son from the dead. So the resurrection of Jesus from the dead turns death on its head, if you will. And because of the empty tomb of Jesus, we know that death does not have the last word. Jesus has the last word. And if we are within Him, we live with that hope and faith. In the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's sing together.
Number 408. We'll do the first three verses and then the chorus on the last. And during the chorus, please stand and remain standing. 408. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day. Jesus, my Lord, vainly they watched his bed. Jesus, my Savior, vainly they sealed the dead. Jesus, my Lord, death cannot keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foe. He arose a victor for the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Remain standing and turn to 97. 97. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Hallelujah. Sing ye hands, thou worth reply. Love's redeeming work is done. Hallelujah. Fought the fight, the battle won. Hallelujah. Lo, our sun's eclipse is o'er. Hallelujah. Lo, he sits in blood no more. Hallelujah. Vain the stone, the watch, the seal. Hallelujah. Christ hath burst the gates of hell. Hallelujah. Death in vain forbids his rise. Hallelujah. Christ hath opened paradise. Hallelujah. Lives again our glorious King. Hallelujah. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Hallelujah. Once he died our souls to save. Hallelujah. Where's thy victory, boasting grave? Hallelujah. Be seated.
Okay, we need to go through these slides to the next picture, please. There we go. Not only does the empty tomb give me a full faith in God's goodness and God's power, the empty tomb gives me a full hope in heaven. That hope is not just a wish, it's not just a desire, it's not just a longing. It's a reality that has not yet been given to me, but I know it will be because of Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus gives me assurance of being with the Lord forever, that at death the Lord will usher me into his presence to be with him in that perfect environment of paradise, a paradise of God prepared for us from the foundation of the world, a perfect place, a return to an Eden-style environment, but there will be no sin and temptation because the former things will have passed away. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And how could Paul say he would rather die and go with Christ because it's far better? Because he knew that heaven was a reality, not just a wish. And how did he know it was a reality? Because Jesus the Lord had been risen from the dead. Our assurance of heaven is based upon the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote it this way, for Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In the ancient Jewish religion, the festival of first fruits was you would give thanks to God for the first of the harvest in hope that the full harvest would follow. In a similar way, Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead in the assurance that indeed there will be a general resurrection from the dead in the end, that life is not over when we die. Life is just beginning if we're in Christ. So when we think about the resurrection of Jesus, we know that our hope in heaven is sure, not just a wish, not just but a form of reality because of Jesus himself being raised from the dead by the power of God. Therefore, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness and his resurrection. Let's sing together number 438.
438. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his loving face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
The empty tomb of Jesus not only gives us a fullness of faith in God and His power, not only gives us a wholeness of hope, because Jesus was raised from the dead, we know we will be raised from the dead by His power, and we will be in the presence of God in eternity. The empty tomb also has a message for my life now. It gives my heart full love. You see, when we become a Christian, the love of God begins to grow in our heart. And it's not that we've arrived, and not that our love is perfect in the sense of complete and can't be better. But because you are a Christian, because you have allowed God to begin to work in your life and your heart, He's been changing you and metamorphosizing you like that butterfly into something beautiful, something wonderful, something lovely. You've heard me say this one before. Eternal hope in heaven is more than pie in the sky by and by. Our faith in Christ is also, if you will, cake by the lake while we wait. Now, that's just a little cute saying, and you may think, Mark, that's a little cheesy, and it probably is. I made it up, so it's cheesy. You know, that's all right. But here's my point. Our hope in heaven and our trust in Jesus is not just about something that's long away and far away in heaven. It has something to do with life right here and now. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and might have it abundantly or have it to the full. Life in Christ begins blessing us now. Our faith in Christ begins blessing us now. We don't have to wait to heaven to begin to experience a new life in Christ. Our new life in Christ begins now when we submit to Him in Christian baptism. In Romans chapter 6, we find these words from the Apostle Paul. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. You knew that verse, didn't you? A new life. If you're a baptized believer, if you have been baptized for the remission of your sins, put on the Lord Jesus, filled with His Holy Spirit, you have a new life. Now, it doesn't mean that that life is instantly changed and you're suddenly mature, but you have a new direction in life. You have a new hope in life, and you have a new power in life. When you become a Christian, when you're baptized into the Lord, that empty tomb of Jesus gives our life new hope and meaning now. We don't just have to wait for heaven for the blessings to come. The blessings begin now. Little by little, Christ changes our hearts. When we repent and are baptized, our hearts change little by little in His image. And the resurrection of Jesus that motivated us to surrender ourselves to Him over time begins maturing our hearts in Him. You look at those who have been Christians for 30 or 40 or 50 years, and they'll tell you, I'm a different person than I was before I became a Christian. God has worked on my heart. I see the world differently. I relate to people differently. I have been changed by the Spirit of God. Now, God's changing of us isn't overcome our human will. That's why we continue to repent and continue to submit our will to Christ. But our conversion to Christ is that when we copy His resurrection from the dead in baptism, just as Christ was put into a tomb and raised from the dead by the power of God, we allow our bodies to be immersed into a watery grave to rise to a new life in Jesus Christ. So in our conversion, we begin itself to begin to emulate His new life, His new resurrection, because life comes from death. And life in Christ's Spirit comes from us dying to self to be born again in the image of Christ. Let's sing to number 85, number 85.
Buried through Christ, my blessed Redeemer, dead to the whole life of folly and sin. Satan may call, the world may entreat me. There is no voice that answers within. Dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew, obedient and free, dead to the joys that once did enthrall me. 'Tis that not I, Christ, liveth in me. Think it not strange that things I once cherished cannot allure me of folly and sin. Satan may call, for flesh with Christ have suffered. Old things are past, I love them no more. Dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew, obedient and free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me. Yet is not I, Christ liveth in me. Sin hath no more its cruel dominion. Walking in newness of life, I am free. Glorious life of Christ my Redeemer, which he so richly shareth with me. Dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew, obedient and free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me, yet 'tis not I, Christ liveth in me.
Yes, when we're buried with the Lord in baptism, we rise to a new life in Jesus Christ. And that resurrection life is different than our previous life because our hearts have been changed and will be changed by God as we continue to submit ourselves to him. So in baptism, in a sense, we emulate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we've seen from Romans chapter 6. You see, the empty tomb of Jesus and my submission to him gives me that full faith in God. It gives me a full faith in heaven. And it also gives me a full heart of love. The joy we have in Christ comes from a full faith in God, a full hope in heaven, and a full love in life. And that faith, hope, and love, Paul said, those three matter. And he said, love's the greatest one because faith and hope will eventually be realized. We won't need faith and hope anymore in heaven. It'll be real, right? It'll be what we experience. But love never ends. In heaven, we get to love each other forever. In heaven, we get to live a life of love eternally in the presence of God. We began today by noting that the disciples who encountered the risen Lord were full of joy when they saw their Lord risen from the dead. And let me assure you, when you emulate the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, when you submit your heart to Jesus Christ, you repent of your sins, and in your faith allow yourself to be baptized into Christ, you cross that line and say, I'm going to quit dating Jesus, and I'm going to get married to him. I'm going to cross that line and say yes to Jesus Christ. I'm going to say I do to him. I'm going to begin living according to his rules and his regulations. I'm going to begin living by his love instead of my own way. When we cross that line into Christ, our lives are changed in baptism. This morning, I want to share with you the joy of that decision, the joy that comes when we're baptized into Christ. I remember the joy when I was baptized. It's been many years ago. It was on a Sunday night. Afterwards, that night, I spent a lot of time in prayer and just praising God because my sins had been forgiven, and I knew I was right with the Holy One, and I knew my destiny was heaven. There's a great joy that comes. The Bible itself talks about that empty tomb bringing joy. You go over to Acts chapter 16. Paul shares with the Philippian jailer the good news of Jesus Christ. In the middle of the night, he decides to repent, turns his life over to Christ, and he wants to be baptized. Listen to what the Bible says. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all those in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds. That shows his repentance. And immediately he and his family were baptized. And the jailer brought them into the house and set a meal before them. And he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Let me assure you, when you come to believe in God, not just believe he exists, but trust and surrender to him. When you're baptized, like the jailer was baptized, you come to that fullness of joy that we seek in life, but we find only by surrendering ourselves to God. The jailer did not end that day as he began it. That day, that jailer was probably far from God. God was not on his mind. He didn't think, well, you know, tonight I think I'm going to become a Christian. And you may have come this morning, even to services on Easter Sunday, not even thinking about becoming a Christian. But I hope you're thinking about that process. And I hope you make the decision to turn your life to Christ and experience the joy that comes in surrendering to Jesus. So today, if you need Christ, it's time to turn your heart to him. Do the surrender in repentance. Put your faith and trust in him and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. I encourage you not to delay once you're convicted it's the right thing to do. You can come to the front of the auditorium in just a moment as we stand and sing and just let me know that you want to be baptized into Christ. We'll be glad to make that happen for you today on the basis of your faith, your repentance of sin, and then you're ready to be baptized into Jesus. So let your desire be known. Don't say no to Jesus. Say yes to him. Because the empty tomb brings a full joy when we surrender to him. Let's stand and sing the invitation song.